verses 13 through 18 addresses the subject of wisdom. James has been called the Proverbs of the New Testament, due in part to its many commands. I believe we said that James, out of about 106 verses, has around 50 or more imperatives or commands. And because of that, along with some of the pithy sayings and a wisdom-based writing style, many have claimed that it's kind of like the Proverbs of the New Testament. For James, wisdom, like the doctrine of justification, is demonstrated and affirmed by good works and conduct. Just as faith without works is a corpse, so wisdom without works is dead. A person may say that they have faith and claim to have wisdom, but in reality have neither if they aren't verifiable. I'd like to look at three things this evening. First, verse 13, if you're looking for an outline to identify the attributes of the wise and knowledgeable person. And secondly, identify two kinds of wisdom, earthly and heavenly. And then by the time I finish studying, I thought I'd finish it in 1 week, but it looks like it's going to have to be two parts, this series. The third part will be identifying and expounding upon the components of true wisdom. So with that, let me read James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, the word of the Lord. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. So we begin with verse 13, identifying the attributes of the wise or knowledgeable person. I'll reread verse 13. And this is in the King James. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So as usual, we need to understand the breadth of the words in order to really get the fullest meaning out of the text. And James uses, as you can see here, the word wise and knowledge. In the ESV, he translates it wise and understanding. So let's unpack a little bit the word wise and the word knowledge or understanding and then kind of bring it together. So he starts off with a question. He poses the question, who's a wise man that has knowledge? So this is, you think of the word and you know it in English. It's this one is the word sophos, but the feminine word for wisdom is sophia. So he uses this word sophos. It's pretty broad in how it's used in general. It can be used in the sense of someone that's smart. It could be in the sense that someone knows how to do something and the sequence of something. It also could be used in the sense of the best way to get somewhere, not just a good way. But here in James, it's used in a more practical way, demonstrating piety and integrity. The Hebrew word uses a moral approach to it. It has to do with more how a person lives as opposed to the Greek concept of, you know, of wisdom in that sense. So it has It has a Hebrew meaning. Of course, James is the stepbrother of Jesus, raised in a Jewish family. And it is in this very specific sense that James is utilizing the word sophos. He wants you and I to know that there is true wisdom, and that true wisdom will be accompanied with a certain kind of lifestyle. It's not just a matter of mind or one's sagacity. It's more of a life that's in conformity to God's law and under the lordship of God. So just when he poses the question about who's wise, he's singing along those lines, not so much a clever person or someone that just has information. Secondly, when he uses the word knowledge, as I mentioned before, this is interesting because he uses, you know, there's a word that we use in English like to know, like even the idea of Gnosticism. It's gnosis. It's the idea of knowledge, but that's not the word that he uses here for knowledge or understanding. He uses a compound word that's interesting because it's made up of two words. It literally means, if you're doing a literal translation of this particular word knowledge, it's epistemai, and that means to stand. So the idea is, he's saying, you have who's a wise and endued with knowledge. So the concept of wisdom with regard to how we behave, appropriating God's law and commandment, together with the idea of knowledge in the sense of upon to stand. That is, adding one layer on top of another layer gives you height and insight to see better. So you're adding upon the things that you already know. It's not like you're a novice. So he's not talking about just information, but an added information. That's why the one translation is understanding and this one is knowledge. Just that becomes important because the he's communicating the idea of the process, and he adds, as we add precept upon precept, and gain insight into something, into living especially, that's the context. Living that eventuates in contentment, living that eventuates in humility, which is what's identifiable. That's why I said in the introduction, faith without works is a corpse, and so wisdom without works is dead. In other words, it's measurable, identifiable by the way we live, not simply in theory. So based upon James' question, you see it in verse 13, the question is, who is wise and knowledgeable among you? That's the question that he poses. He responds, guess what? By using our next imperative. And if you were to shorten it, and if he was here, he would be talking about knowledge and talking about wisdom, and then he'd say, who among you is wise and has understanding? And then you know what he would say? Show it. Because that's an imperative, and that's what he uses in verse 14. It doesn't come out in the English, but that's what comes out in the thrust of the language that it's written in. Let him show it, verse 13. Wisdom, you have knowledge. Let's see it. So wisdom is demonstrated by one's conduct. That is how they live and the attitude that they developed and project. You're wise and understanding? Then show it, he says, by how you live and the way you speak. I think there's a lot going on there, because you'll recall that he's writing this letter to the diaspora, to under persecution, where lots of people and there will want to be teachers and people who want to say, yeah, well, we know this. And even today, you know, every channel and radio, you have all these people, you know, writing and speaking about stuff that they don't even know. Even the vice president wrote a book, and if you read it, it's certainly theologically ignorant. I mean, I love the guy. It's great. Sure. Wonderful. I'm not having an issue. But my point is, not everybody has the wisdom and the knowledge, even though they write a book about it. And so in James's day, they had lots of teachers, rabbis, all kinds of people that were teaching And yet, he says that doesn't mean anything. Because by and large, the life didn't follow what they were teaching. So he demonstrates this by giving us some more information. Look at the text. We're taking it right from the text. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Show me. How? And he just show me. Let it be shown of a good conversation. That's an old, you know, King James written in 1611 or something around there. And, you know, conversation today means this. But that's not what the word means. In fact, it's an interesting word. In some of the other translations, you'll get conduct or, you know, show it in the way you live, that idea. But the word itself, remember, these Hebrew and Greek words are very picturesque. I couldn't really understand the scripture if I didn't understand the word. If I understood it from my background of, let's say, the English vocabulary, I wouldn't be guided properly. I'd be deficient. Why? What is good conversation? It's here it is, and I'm going to show it to you with my hand. And there's a little clock up here. Yeah, we got it right. It's working. Look at that. It says 7:20. The word good conversation, it's two words. Anastrapho. It means, well, you know, when we say anastasia or the idea of the word resurrection, yeah, up. So anastrapho. And that's a strange word because it means turn, return, or overturn. So here's what's happening with this word. Let your life be in conformity. Show your wisdom by your good conversation. And here's what it is. It's up and down and up and down. It's up and down. It's consistency. That's what the word's communicating. Good conversation is consistency. Now, I don't play golf. I never played golf. I think I would love to play golf. I'm good at miniature golf. I don't think that's the same. I don't know. Might be. I don't know how that works. But I can tell you this much from observation. You know, I like to watch horses run and horses races. I like to watch golf and even bowling. One thing I know is that these great golfers, I mean, they're really great. I notice their movements are almost exactly what they do. They have to do it the same way. It looks like it's the same perfect way. Everything's perfect. That's the word here, the anastrapho. It's saying that your life, that's what James is saying that reflects wisdom. We're talking about wisdom. And it takes work. You know, one little move, you're off like 300 feet, maybe not that much, but you're off a long ways. I love it. You know, the camera shows you which way the ball's going. I really wonder if that's right, personally. It might give you the idea, but I don't think that's exactly right. But maybe it is. And the whole point of it is guided consistency, the same thing. And so James is saying, listen, show me. And here's how you're going to show me, by your good conversation, by your anastropho. And you're going to remain like that. And then he goes on and he says, he uses this word. You see it in verse 13. Show me by your good conversation his works. And that's not a hard word. It's just a regular word for works. And he mentions what that might include. If we look at the context of the whole book, that's how we get the meaning. You don't get it from one place. You say, how is that used in different places? And he talks a little bit about the gentle speech. That's like the part of the works in chapter 1 and chapter 2, that we would be merciful. That's a behavior. That's a kind of work. Impartiality without prejudice type of stuff. That's a work. So he's saying that this behavior is what should characterize a person who is wise and has understanding. You know, it's not, and I think in that sense, he's not talking about orthodoxy. Because we hear a lot about orthodoxy, but we don't hear as much about orthopraxy. And that's really, that's not under orthodoxy. Orthodoxy is not under orthopraxy. Right doctrine and right living are congruent. That one's not above the other. That's the problem. In some of these churches, you had one this way up here and one this way down here. And he says, that can, you know, salt water come out of a fresh water fountain? You know, can you get a grape from an olive tree? There's no consistency there. And so this is critical for James as he communicates to... It's hard work. It's not something that happens in a day in a gym. I have people who say to me, yeah, I'm really seeing a difference in the gym. Like they've been 3 days in their whole life. It's like, you're kidding me. No, but they're dead serious. Like, I don't think... I'm not telling you, like, that's ridiculous. But that is ridiculous. Absolutely. And godliness and wisdom is not something that you say, oh, wow, oh, like, why? I took a pill. No, it's not like that. It's like striving every day. It's like, this is work. Christianity is work. It's hard work. It's serious work. And that's what James is telling us. And then finally, he says something about the meekness of wisdom. And the meekness is, someone has said, I quote, I don't even know, but I'm quoting it. It's not my phrase. Power with reserve and gentleness. It's hard to, Moses is known as like the meekest man in the Bible, other than Jesus, who, remember, even in characterizing himself in Matthew 11, said, you know, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden. Those people that are tired, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. So in some way, I think the most supreme example is Christ, without a doubt. But a human example is Moses, who has lots of other characteristics, but he is certainly... You know, I found it interesting. I really did. I found this text interesting because the word for meekness and... Well, let me just say, if you look at 13 with me, he uses the word knowledge, and he uses the word wise. And of course, he uses the idea of the meekness of wisdom. So wisdom is somehow tucked in, meekness is somehow tucked in into wisdom. And so I started to look at how words are used in the Old Testament. I wanted to know if this word, which is not the usual word for knowledge, is used anywhere else. And I found it interesting, I had to look at the Old Testament Greek version, which is, you know, the Septuagint. And I found one verse that's a little different than the Masoretic text. So if you looked at Job 28, for example, I found it interesting because I think that's what they had in mind, these Greeks that translated the Old Testament in like the 4th century B.C. from the Hebrew into the Greek. So I wanted to see what Job 28:28 said. I love these new computers, you know, I speak to it now. I even dismiss it, like, shut up, I don't want to hear that, get me another view. I'm sorry, here's the view you want. It's like, are you kidding me? It's really wild, but 28:28. Look at, so I asked him, I asked this computer that I have, you know, one of those machines, say, give me the Septuagint reading of Job 28:28. I want to read it from the King James, and I wrote down the Septuagint reading. And I looked at the Greek, too, to see if they really match. 28:28 says... This is, you know, Job had an issue, you know that. And he's talking about wisdom at one point. And one point the Lord's going to say that whole chapter on wisdom. Like, where are you? You know, who are you to darken counsel? It's 28:28, he says. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. You see those two words, right? Wisdom and understanding. They're the same two words that James has. So James is Greek, same two words in the Septuagint for those two words. But there's one difference, and that's what really blew my mind. Because, you know, they translate the fear of the Lord slightly differently, and it's not the same word. It's not phobia which would be the typical word for fear. Here's the Septuagint, and notice how he tucks in what I think is the meekness piece. Quote, Job 28:28 in the Septuagint, and he said to man, behold, godliness is wisdom. Godliness is wisdom, and to abstain from evil is understanding. That's what the Septuagint translated from the whatever the Hebrew was of 28:28. Now back to James chapter 3. See, the whole point here that James wants to make is that you show what wisdom and understanding is by how you live. And he wants them to understand that godliness, and I think the meekness of wisdom, really the end result of the meekness of wisdom and the proper conversation is a godly life that's lived humbly before the Lord. I think there's a connection there, and there's a connection there for us, and that this is something that the Lord wants to see in his people. And so that leads us to, and we're getting close to out of time, I want to try to cover least earthly wisdom. You can see it. He's going to contrast what earthly wisdom is as opposed to heavenly wisdom. He's going to say something like, earthly wisdom is kind of bitter, and it's envious, it's selfish, selfish ambition, it has strife, it's self-interest. It's not heavenly wisdom. We're going to see that it's a totally different thing. Pure and peaceable, gentle, you know, easy to be entreated, malleable, that kind of thing. But I think the important part is that the earthly wisdom obviously comes from the earth. When he says verse 14, talking about this wisdom that's from below, because he says in 14, but if you have bitter envy, strife, don't glory, lie against the truth. This wisdom doesn't come from above, but is earthly. So it comes out of the earth. The word for farmer, and the reason why I know this is because I was at a Bible study that my brother teaches, and I was doing some research in James chapter 3 earlier, and there's a guy in the Bible study, I may have told you this, his name was George. And I just, that week, I happened to come across the Greek word, George, in the Greek text. And George comes from the G-E, is G, it's earth, like, you know, agrarious or agriculture, that G-E, that little stem there means earth. And ergo, the E-R-G in the word George, is work. Work the earth. George literally means working the earth. And this word here, when it says, this wisdom descended is not from above, but is earthly, it's a epigeo, that G-E is in there, which means earth, of the earth. So that's where it's coming from. The wisdom that is worldly is earthly, and he mentions a couple other ideas here. It's sensual, and it's even, you know, set on fire of hell. It's like demonic. It's evil. It's a counterfeit. It's unspiritual, carnal, base. That's the idea of sensual, and it's from the earth. So I better come up to a conclusion soon, because then I'm going to be over. Earthly wisdom is characterized by self-interest, strife, and ambition, and it only produces confusion and every evil work. So where there's confusion, whether it's the workplace or the family, something's off in that area of wisdom, and as opposed to, then there's pride, as opposed to strife, as opposed to self-interest. So when all those things come together, it's an agitation. And that's what James is saying. In fact, the word confusion, I think the closest word to confusion, the closest word picture, is like an earthquake. I've only been a little earthquakes around here. I remember, you know, I'm serious. We've had little earthquakes around here. I remember going up to a dying patient's house. That's all I do, right? And all of a sudden, I'm walking up to the lawn, and the whole lawn starts moving. I only felt like just a little off, but I thought, is that a big truck that just passed by, or was that really? And then I find out that was an earthquake. Now that word, that when everything moves like that, that's the idea of the word confusion. That's the closest word that I can think of. It's the best example to that word. So in conclusion, we know that Christ, the power of God, and he's the wisdom of God. Christ really is the wisdom of God. Knowing Christ is having a wisdom in our hearts and minds, and feeding upon Christ and being connected to Christ is vital for us and for wisdom. So he has become for us wisdom from God, along with wanting us to live a righteous and a holy and a proper life. And so the question for us is, who is a wise person among you? Show it by how you're changing into the likeness of Christ. You know, I don't want to miss that piece. How do we show that we're wise and understand? By being more like Christ. Now you're going to have to show up for the part two, because then we're going to really see what wisdom from above is. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful definition and characterization of true wisdom in a practical way. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and these few thoughts from your word. And we admit that we're certainly not wise and knowledgeable so much of the time. But we desire to be. Help us to strive to be. Help us to work toward that very end, that we might live a life that's in communion and union with you, so that we would be able to have that quiet strength and meekness and rest, and that we would be more conformed into your image, and that we would be therefore lights in a dark, dark world. So hear us in our prayers, and be with your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.